Hi, this is Robert Quintes with the Eno Center for Transportation, a public policy think tank based here in Washington, D.C. In an era of declining infrastructure, coupled with limited resources for transportation spending, state and local governments are turning to the ballot box, where voters are helping set priorities for transportation projects, planning, and policies. With more measures on the ballot this year, Eno decided to launch this podcast series, where we will interview experts to talk in depth about some of the key measures, their impetus and impact, and what lessons can be shared across the country.
And in this episode, we're talking to Beth Alden, Executive Director of Plan Hillsborough, the Metropolitan Planning Organization for Hillsborough County and Tampa. Beth, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So we're talking today about a ballot measure in the county that would raise the sales tax for transportation improvements. And as we'll discuss, this is not the first time that the county has voted on a measure of this kind. So Beth, why don't you start off by just talking to us about what Hillsborough Referendum Number 2 is and what it means for transportation in the county.
Sure. This referendum would be to raise the sales tax by 1 cent on the dollar, and it would be focused specifically on transportation. It would take a multimodal approach to that.
In November of 2010, the voters there rejected a similar measure that would have raised money for transit investments in the region, including building out the light rail system. So other than the fact that this measure is multimodal, what else is different this time around from 2010 to 2018?
That's a great question. Actually, we did a lot of work in the planning that shaped how this ballot initiative is a little bit different. So let me explain. After the 2010 referendum was not approved by the voters, we went to the citizens of Hillsborough County and asked, how high a priority is it to invest in transportation? And if it is a priority, what do you think our focus should be? And we found out through focus group research, we hired a public opinion research firm and, you know, got to watch people from behind mirrored glass. And people were very candid and they were very frustrated with the transportation system. But they wanted to make sure that there's not a bait and switch. In other words, this needs to be a net increase in funding for transportation and no funds that are currently allocated to transportation are going to get shifted to something else. They also said, we need to make sure we're addressing our potholes, our bridge maintenance. We need to address roadway safety. We need to make sure they are safe places for people to walk and bike. We need to make sure that our traffic signals are using the latest technology and we're not just endlessly sitting at a light for no good reason. And we want to make sure that we have complete networks for people who want to walk and bike off roadways, that we have complete networks for people who want to use our bus system to get around. So a lot of these very kind of basic bread and butter concerns. The referendum that was on the ballot back in 2010 focused a lot more resources on some big ticket items. So it had 56 miles of light rail transit in it. You know, that would have provided light rail service to, you know, a number of different suburbs around the Tampa area. But what we were hearing as we went out and talked to people around the county was not everybody would necessarily use light rail. Light rail isn't necessarily the right solution for every part of the county. It might be a good solution in the core area, but, you know, out in my suburban area, maybe we need to be focusing on express bus service and beefing that up. Reflecting a variety of different needs, we focused in our last long-range plan update on how do we balance what all those needs are and try to make sure that we're adequately addressing those needs, and laid out a plan that provides funding for maintenance, for congestion mitigation, for safety improvement, for walk and bike improvements, for bus system improvements. We laid out that plan, and then we were actually as surprised as anybody to find out in June that a citizen-led initiative had come forward and put a referendum on the ballot that was very, very similar to what was in our long-range plan.
So that's great when those two pieces come together. So the focus is on fixing the basics and really not on kind of the big, shiny, major investments, like you said, like not investing in new light rail systems, really making sure that the transportation network that's on the ground today is performing as well as it possibly can.
Yes, that's right.
In other areas of the country, as we see these measures proliferate, in many cases, voters do know specifically what kind of projects are going to receive money from the revenues that they would approve. In this case, it doesn't do that. The money goes to the transit authority, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, the county, and the localities. So how do the decisions get made about how to allocate that revenue if the voters approve it? Is it connected then to the long-range plan update you mentioned?
There's nothing in the referendum that ties the spending to the long-range plan. The referendum language does ask the MPO to support the work of the Independent Oversight Committee, which would be reviewing what the transit agency prepares in terms of a program of project, would be reviewing what the local governments prepare in terms of a program of project. The way that this would work is the local governments and the transit agency would each receive a budget estimate. They would come up with a list of projects that they would propose to spend those funds on. The list would be reviewed by the Independent Oversight Committee, and the MPO would provide staff support to the Independent Oversight Committee, look at it from a technical perspective. There's a lot of specific language in this particular referendum about how the funds would be divvied up. And so our role would be to make sure that the local government is spending the minimum amount required on maintenance, for example. 54% of the revenues are proposed to go to the local governments. That portion would be split up into 20% for maintenance and addressing stormwater, 26% to congestion mitigation, 27% to safety improvements, and 12% to the walk bike network.
So it's not focused on specific projects necessarily. It is programmed for different kind of topic areas.
Exactly. And those numbers are actually very close to what's in the long-range transportation plan.
And how about with the regional transit authority? The same, there's a share that's going to them directly, and then that's tied to certain types of investments?
Yes, so there is a 45% share of the annual revenues that would go to the transit authority. And that would then be divided into 45% of that goes to bus service, 35% goes to transit in exclusive right-of-way, so not specifying what technology it needs to be. You know, is it rubber tires? Is it steel wheel? Does it have a human driver? Does it have a robot driver? We don't need to get into all of that. There are perfectly capable technical people, engineers and planners and so forth, who can sort that stuff out in the future. What's important is that the transit is not getting stuck in traffic. So that's what 35% of that is set aside for. And then there's 20% that's for any or other expenditure. And, you know, and we had identified some other things like paratransit needs, transit maintenance, so that could be addressed in that category.
Are there other ways for the region to raise money other than going to the voters?
They're fairly limited. We have looked at a lot of different ways that you could try to generate revenue. So, for example, on some major roadways, you could create new express lanes and put tolls on those. You could bond the forecast toll revenue to build the lanes. That's not going to work everywhere, but it could help build some projects. You could also focus on particular districts or neighborhoods and create special property tax assessments if the folks in that area are interested in doing that. And then money that is generated through that special assessment could go to fund improvements in that specific area, and there'd be a lot of accountability. We have floated ideas like this through our public opinion research, and people have said, yeah, that's good. We like to see a relationship between who pays and who benefits, but we want to see a more holistic approach to our transportation system. Is, you know, just going with that's a piecemeal approach, it becomes a patchwork quilt. Some places can pay, some can't. So what can you do to take a more comprehensive approach? We do have a 5-cent local option gas tax that is not levied here, that could be levied by a vote of our county commission. It would be a supermajority vote. That would generate on the order of like $25 to $30 million a year-ish. That is one-tenth of what the one-penny sales tax is forecast to raise right now. One-tenth. And it's also a dwindling revenue source. You know, as we get more efficient vehicles, as we get more electric vehicles, then the value of that 5 cents per gallon gas tax goes down.
Yes, and that's very much a conversation. And some of the other measures that we've seen around the country, it's a very prominent source for raising revenue, but one, as you said, that is unsustainable probably in the long term. Another question, so we've seen that opponents of the measure charge that there actually is already enough revenue to go around for transportation without any new taxes or fees, you know, to fix the roads or do the things you've talked about. Is that true? How does that argument relate to the work you've done in your long-range plan?
We've looked at all of the funding that's available for transportation. And there's no obvious place where we feel like things are well-funded and there's excess capacity to take new projects on. I'm being too blunt here, I suppose. So let me quote you some of our statistics. So in our system preservation category, what we did was we looked at what do all of the local governments spend their money on, and what does the State Department of Transportation spend its money on? What does the transit agency spend its money on? We're going to roll all of those things up into broad categories and look at what the performance outcomes are. Right now, in our system preservation category, our local governments are able to resurface their roadways every 50 to 75 years. Now, ideally, you would like to resurface your local roads every 25 years. And if you don't do that and you let them fall into a state of great disrepair, then you're not going to be able to just go out and do it, scrape and put down a new layer. You're going to have to rebuild the entire road. So we're actually driving up the total costs of the program, of the maintenance program, by not resurfacing on the cycle that we need to. We have $100 million worth of city and county bridges that are going to need to be rebuilt over the next two decades. We have a $43 million backlog on our bus replacements. Our crash rates are very high from a severe crash measure per capita, per VMT. They're high. It would be good if we could bring down our crash rate by 20% to 50%. At the level we're currently investing in safety improvements, we think we could bring it down 10%. And that's using some Sharp 2 C11 sketch planning, you know, post model processor kind of a tool. So, I mean, there's a lot of technical analysis that goes into this.
So you're strongly making the case that there are clearly a whole bunch of needs in the region, and there's reams of evidence to...
There's a ton of evidence. There is no area where we are not underfunding our transportation system.
And so that kind of gets to the question I was going to ask you. What if this measure failed? What were the impacts going to be? I think you've kind of articulated that very clearly. So let me ask instead, do you pay attention to what's going on across the country? Do you think there's any national implications, or what should national listeners take away from whatever happens down there in Tampa in November?
As we've continued to grow outwards, we have created infrastructure that, you know, every linear mile of road, every linear mile of water sewer infrastructure serves fewer and fewer people because the densities are lower. So it is harder and harder for us to come up with the tax revenue to pay even the basic maintenance for those infrastructure costs. We have relied on driving to solve our mobility needs, to address our mobility needs. At some point, you reach diminishing return where you really can't widen the roads any farther. And so what do you do now? Well, now you have to start wholesale looking at other systems for how to move people around. And it's a big jump, and it's not a cheap jump. And it comes at the same time when, you know, we have this bill for infrastructure maintenance that has been building up for decades.
So one of the big lessons, I think, would be for the country to, as you said, kind of pay attention to how the outward migration is connected to the investments you're making. And then as the area, the focus of the measure is to make sure that you're maintaining what you've got right now.
Looking at the long-term financial commitments going to need to be to maintain the infrastructure that you're creating right now. And are you building a system that's going to have some flexibility and adaptability so that when you need it to serve people walking, people bicycling, people taking the bus and trying to cross the street to, you know, get to that shopping center or whatever it is on the other side of the street, you know, we need to be able to build in ways that our infrastructure systems can meet a variety of needs over time as we continue to grow and change and have more and more people occupying the same space.
Well, that was great. Beth, I really want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you.
And thank you all for tuning in. ENO will continue monitoring this and the other transportation-related ballot measures that will be voted on this November and all throughout the year. You can learn more about ENO and our Transportation at the Ballot Box work at www.enotrans.org.